Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. We're talking some Penn State football. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle also here with me. We're going to start with some recruiting here in just a moment. Looking at trends at the linebacker position since James Franklin arrived in 2014, how they've approached the position, how good they've been, what's happening most recently. In the case of linebackers, I think a lot of good stuff is happening recently. We'll probably continue with the recruiting stuff, some other Penn State football questions for our Ask Greg segment, which is coming up right after this one. We're also going to look around the Big Ten this spring, some storylines, some questions that other programs need to answer. Just a all-around summary of Penn State's competition in the Big Ten and the Big Ten East, and then we'll wrap up this show. One more conversation about Penn State wrestling. I don't think you can talk about it quite enough with what Cale Sanderson's program is doing. Brandon Pelter will join us to wrap up the show. Just a look back on the season. Penn State won its seventh national title in eight tries, which was phenomenal. Worth talking about one more time. We'll also look into the future a little bit for next season, losing Zane Rutherford. So let's start with some football here, Greg. We're in the middle of spring, but I want to keep working our way through this recruiting series where we're just trying to figure out what Penn State's trying to do at each of these positions, what they've been successful doing. In the case of like defensive tackles a couple weeks ago, where there were disruptions and how that's impacting the current team. So at the linebacker position, I think you can also say that there were some disruptions along the way, and it's put him in a position where both last season and this season, I think there are still more questions than answers. There's a lot of potential answers, though, on the depth chart.
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you look and see how Penn State's recruited the last few years, they have been in position to get maybe what you would consider, I don't want to say higher rated guys, because at some positions they had the highest rated guys on the board, or at least on their team-specific recruiting board. But they were in position to get some bigger fish, and they did not. So they, in some cases, took guys late that they offered after they missed out on the bigger names. So you do have the situation where there's part of the depth chart that is filled with guys seemingly on the cusp of being able to play. You have guys like Michael Mennett who came in and people thought that they would be contributors right away, that after a few years now have rounded into form and are ready to hit the field. And then you have guys like Micah Parsons, Lamont Wade last year was a good example, guys that Etur Gross-Matos can be an example this year, guys that really match their recruiting ranking and their abilities and what everyone expected for them coming out of high school, and they're ready to hit the field. So Penn State does lose a lot from the 2017 team, there's no question about it, but James Franklin's recruiting success along with his staff speaks for itself, and it has Penn State in position to reload, I guess you could say, instead of rebuilding as they enter another year where they'll be in the college football playoff mix.
I think the linebacker recruiting has been taken to the next level, not just in the 2018 class, three of whom are already on campus, which I think is a big deal. We'll circle back to that, but also to close the 17 class with Ellis Brooks. You know, like, what would the feeling be right now if you didn't get that commitment on signing day last year? You know, he's a guy who's not being discussed as a favorite to win the middle linebacker job or anything, but you feel a lot better about the depth chart knowing he's there, no matter what happens this spring and this summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I don't know. Honestly, I'm not sure, because we just haven't seen a whole lot from Ellis Brooks yet. We don't know what his progression is. Is he a guy that can be plugged in and play this year? Is he a guy that's going to need another year? But I think it's the sense that you have that guy, or that four-star recruit, that maybe you don't know as much about him as you would like. Certainly the staff knows more about him than we do. But I think, you know, you can, if you're a Penn State fan, you can rest assured knowing that the cupboard's not empty. Now, granted, it doesn't always work out. I mean, Jake Cooper is an example of that, a guy that was pretty highly rated, and for injuries and other things just haven't really sort of kept his career from getting going. So it doesn't always mean that just because the rankings are good that good results will follow, but I will say that when you look at the linebacker picture as a whole, certainly it looks a lot better with Ellis Brooks here than it would if he wasn't around.
And I think, you know, before the 18 class, I just wasn't sure what Penn State was trying to do at linebacker, because you had, you know, Koa Farmer, Jarvis Miller moved from safety. You brought in two guys who weren't really high school linebackers, Braylon Faison Walden and Braylon Franklin in the 17 class. And yeah, at some point in time, I felt like you were going to need true blue linebackers, not guys that you're going to mold into linebackers or whatever. But in the 18 class, that really answered a big question, not only in terms of the depth chart, but in terms of what the staff's philosophy is. Yeah. And I think we as amateurs on the outside, you have to kind of believe that they know what they're doing. But I think it was nerve-wracking for a lot of people to see that they just didn't have a lot of true linebackers coming through. And then, so I think that's where, for me, Ellis Brooks came in last class. He was a true linebacker through and through, middle linebacker type. Mm-hmm. And then you get at least three who I think are true linebackers in this class. But again, there are shades of gray here. So Jesse Lucado, Micah Parsons, both linebackers for sure to start. Nick Tarburton, a linebacker for sure to start. But you look at Charlie Catcher is the other one who's arriving this summer. But you look at all these guys. So Nick Tarburton is enormous at 6'3", 6'4", 240, 245 pounds. He could be defensive end. Micah Parsons, is he too good of a pass rusher to quote-unquote limit at middle linebacker? Charlie Catcher, 6'3", 215, did a lot of things as a high school athlete, wasn't ever really a down-to-down linebacker either. Jesse Lucada is what I would call the most true linebacker. There are layers here. This is a really good group, but you have options, I think, to move guys around if you need to.
Yeah, exactly right, Dustin. And I think that when you talk about the true linebackers, I think that's why Penn State focused so hard on taking Tarburton and Lucada, and then adding to that was Catcher and Parsons. I mean, I don't think it was a mistake that they loaded up a little bit, if you will, at linebacker, or obviously potentially a different position depending on how these guys all shake out down the road. Does Tarburton eventually go down? Does Parsons end up playing? And, you know, there's a lot of questions left to answer with these guys, but you look at the depth chart overall, and I think the other thing too to point out is that the 2019 class isn't terribly deep at linebacker. I think Penn State, maybe a guy or two at that position in this cycle. I mean, just looking at the list, I'm just not sure I see them being able to take four again like they did this past class. So it makes sense from that perspective, too, just trying to get the guys in when you can, because you just never guarantee that cycle to cycle you're going to be able to replenish like you want. When you find a quantity and quality that you're looking for, that's when you need to pounce, and Penn State did.
Talking some recruiting here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Continue our series on trends from the Penn State staff since James Franklin arrived in 2014, looking at linebackers in this segment. And the fascinating thing here, obviously Micah Parsons, a big name to watch. A lot of people are excited about him just because of how unique of an athlete he is. You know, if I would buy it if you told me he could play cornerback, you know, because you've seen him do all this stuff as a high school athlete. How do you feel? How should people feel about the idea of taking maybe the most dynamic athlete you've recruited in a decade and moving him to inside the middle of the defense? Yeah. for a need? You know he can do it, but I think some people are probably questioning. I think I would include myself in that group of whether that's the most appropriate, the best use of all the stuff he brings to the table.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes you wonder if they don't feel like this, if they maybe don't feel the same way, but just don't love the options they have there, and they don't really see a way around it. I mean, I don't think you're ever thrilled with the idea. I don't care how talented he is on the field. I don't think you're ever thrilled with the idea of dumping the responsibility of calling the defense on a freshman. I just don't think that you're ever going to be happy with that. Micah Parsons obviously is a smart kid, one of the most talented athletes to ever be recruited by Penn State, but you don't necessarily want to dump the responsibility of calling the defense and aligning things pre-snap and all the jobs that come with middle linebacker on a true freshman. So I think that for Penn State, they just must not feel – that's what I keep coming back to. I just keep circling back to it. They must not feel good about the other options they have there, and they feel like even with any growing pains and things like that that he would have, the Parsons give them the best chance to win there, or at least they want to find out before the summer rolls around.
Well, he's dynamic enough to believe it. You know, he's dynamic enough to believe that whether it's communication issues, whether it's a freshman doing things that a freshman's going to do, overcommit, misread, a lack of experience, how dynamic he is, I think the thought process has to be, you know, he's good enough and athletic enough to overcome some of these things along the way and be able to learn and grow into the job.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I just think that, I mean, obviously Brent Pry is a really, really solid coach. And if anyone can get a freshman coach up and ready to go right away for a true freshman season at middle linebacker, I think I'd put Brent Pry up there with just about anybody. But it doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean it's always going to be pretty. So we'll see. I mean, like James Franklin said, they know what he can do at defensive end. If they have to eventually move him back to defensive end, they certainly will. I really think, though, that they think that the best version of the 2018 Penn State football team includes Micah Parsons at middle linebacker.
And I don't think that that's wrong. And the other thing that I've said pretty frequently is that just because he's labeled a middle linebacker doesn't mean he's only going to do middle linebacker things. I think that he's so good that you have to move him around. You have to blitz him. You have to bring him off the edge. You have to move him outside in sub packages. I think that there's a lot of gray area here as far as Micah Parsons is concerned.
Yeah.
The other thing that came up a little bit earlier in the week when it came to linebacker was just, you know, your suggestion or the notion that, okay, Nick Tarburton and Jesse Luceda, they are built to do the job now. They're here on campus in January. They've got a head start. They're not really two guys that need to mold their body too much. Mm-hmm. Are they guys who could or should play, whether it's linebacker or special teams, right away?
I think that, you know, as long as they each get through spring camp and then the start of summer camp, obviously with flying colors, doing all the on- and off-field things they need to do, I think it's possible. I really do. I mean, look, Penn State prefer to redshirt them? Yeah, probably, but let's be honest, it is not exactly a world-beating list of guys in contention to play middle linebacker or linebacker, period, right, outside of Koa Farmer. So who's to say they can't come right in and pass some of the guys already on the roster? Obviously, we're probably a little bit too early into spring practice to really have a great read on that. Time's going to be the way we can figure that out. But I'll tell you what, it's not like they have a crazy high bar to pass to maybe work their way into the two or three deep and a certain core special teams as well.
Yeah, and I think the one other thing as we're talking about recruiting themes is the idea of getting guys who haven't played a lot of football at linebacker and molding them into linebackers. Koa Farmer, for better or worse, is an example of what might stand in the way. Jarvis Miller, we mentioned the other guys, Braylon Faison-Walden, Braylon Franklin. Just that idea, Greg, of taking guys who are big-time athletes and trying to mold them into linebackers.
Yeah, I think that when you look at what they've been able to do, they like to move guys around. One of the words that James Franklin uses endlessly is versatility. So that's something they've talked about plenty, and I think that, you know, like a few other positions, safety being one of them, you're seeing them do that at middle linebacker and linebacker in general as well.
I'm sure we'll talk some more recruiting. We're going to do Ask Greg. These are your Penn State football and Penn State recruiting questions. Greg's going to be the star of the show. Again, we'll take a quick break. Stay tuned. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.